I'm Selena Sage, and Live Free is for our collective liberation. Namaste and welcome. Today I'm inspired to share some reflections about creativity and freedom. And this has been inspired by a talk, a brilliant talk that I just watched by the late, great Virgil Abloh, who lives on in the realm of the creative geniuses that we are lucky to be able to pull from. And I was reflecting that it's really fortunate that I have this opportunity of time when I'm here on the island, here in Santo Antão, Cabo Verde, because I am able to go to school every day in a different way. I go to school and I learn from masters. I'm able to consume a large amount of content. I read books, I watch TED Talks, I watch documentaries, I watch YouTube interviews like the one today of Virgil Abloh. I listen to all kinds of music, movies, series. I just take in a lot of content, but then I also have a lot of time where I'm doing nothing, where I'm just sitting out in nature and allowing it all to sort of settle while I'm like subconsciously processing all of these different inputs. And I'm speaking purely from like a personal experience, like realm in the personal. And that's a gift because the opportunity that I then feel is to share those ruminations, those reflections. This podcast is an example. My books are an example. Everything that I create is a result of that opportunity to process this large amount of information. And my goal is always to make it as simple as possible. I hope that it lands. I recognize sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But Virgil said something brilliant. He said, what seems like simple ideas take an incredible amount of time to come to fruition. And when I look at my books, when I think about the process, it is so true. The simple ideas, just creating a book of questions, you know, that was many years in the making to be able to condense those ideas into questions. And then my latest book, Finding Freedom Where You Are, I feel like that was a lifetime in the making. It was an attempt to really condense all of this information, this wisdom that I've gleaned from the masters, from experience, into these pointings and perspectives that are meant to be digestible took an incredible amount of time, and it looks really simple. And so I was reminded that when we see things that appear very simple, we have to really applaud the creator. And I'm not tooting my own horn here, I'm just talking about art. I watched a documentary, really great, called Paper and Glue, about this artist called JR. And I remember seeing his art in the MoCo Museum in Amsterdam, which I really loved, Museum of Contemporary Art. I think it was MoCo. I lose track of the museum names. But it's the Contemporary Museum in Amsterdam. And I remember seeing one of the artworks that JR did, which was a border in Mexico. And there's like this big art of a child that appears to be like looking over the border. And this documentary actually went into his process for creating that. And one of his big goals, I mean, this is my interpretation, his big goals of his art is to allow people to be seen. And so often when we see these borders, like the physical border wall, there's this sense of like self and other of, you know, Americans and Mexicans, you know, that there's that separation because of this like created wall. And what JR did with this art is by creating this image of this child, and he took the pictures while the child was just like playing in their playpen, there was this immediately relatable image that, oh, they're people. There are children there. I can relate to that. And his art drew people from both sides of the border. And he had this amazing experience where he created like a table that went from the Mexico side to the American side. And he was on the Mexico side, and they were making like tacos and food that they were passing through this gate. It's not a physical like brick wall, but like a gate that's the border wall, and enjoying this meal together. And it shattered this like sense of self and other. There was just that unity, that connection that his art enabled. And it's so brilliant in its simplicity, and so important in just the way that we are perceiving people. And there's another project he did where he was in a Supermax prison and took pictures, portraits of the prisoners. And then the reason why the documentary is called Paper and Glue is that he applies all this glue and then prints these massive images that are then glued to the board or whatever surface. And so in the Supermax prison, there's this incredible mural of the collection of these prisoners that are never seen because they're behind these walls. So in this sense, he's kind of making the invisible visible, promoting this unification, demolishing this sense of self and otherness. And one of the points that Virgil made in the talk that I watched today, it was a talk he gave at the High Museum of Atlanta. It was about a 2-hour talk, almost 2 hours. And he highlighted the importance of cohesiveness. And I'd like to pose this as just something for you to consider. What is the through line that runs through your life? What is the central principle that sort of organizes your body of work or your body of living into this like single idea? What does that represent? And is that what you want to represent? When we think about art, we often create these boxes that this artist is known for this one thing. And what I love about Virgil and this talk highlighted so well is that he believes in the obliteration of boxes, the obliteration of characterization. And I like to say, you know, there is no box from a Zen perspective. So if we can reframe our entire experience and recognize that if that cohesive point that our life is kind of representing is not what we want, that we have this opportunity to blow up that idea. If it is what we want, maybe we have an opportunity to expand on that idea. And as we think about art and what it means to share, when I think about my life as an artist and this honor that I have to be able to connect with you in this way, even though it's very one-sided, I wish that I had the opportunity to talk with you and discuss with you. And I think that's the reason why I travel, because that promotes the opportunity to connect in the way that my more solitary life on the island doesn't have, is that connection. It's a source of inspiration. And so I hope that even these ideas that you hear on this podcast are a source of inspiration. And when I thought about like this cohesive idea, the connecting point for my books, this podcast, you know, the Zen events I've done and will likely continue to do, it's all about freedom. The creations revolve around this idea and kind of exploring the meaning of freedom in different ways. And most readily, I think you could say from this podcast that it's freedom from this, even the sense of personal identity. It's freedom in the sense of ultimate freedom. It's drawing from the masters. It's saying, if you do this, you can be the Buddha. It's not just to understand the ideas of the Buddha, it's to be the Buddha. And so I know when I say things like, you know, have no desires, have no thoughts, it seems so counterintuitive to the human experience, because you can easily say that desires inspire and thoughts innovate. But both carry this sense of duality. And whenever you have desires, you can either enjoy them or suffer them. And so there's that, you know, that ping-ponging that's happening between those two polarities. But if you're totally free of everything, free of that shadow side, as well as the positive, you're in this like neutral, calm state. So even though that idea that gets shared in many different ways on this podcast seems very extreme, if you try it, even if you experience peace in just one moment, or let's say 30 seconds of peace, it's proven to you that it's possible. So it allows you to see that maybe some of the things that you're holding on to are making you suffer. And that is in the form of ideas just as much as it is anything else. And so this podcast is really, you know, this set, six seasons and hundreds of episodes is all about challenging that, you know, challenging that idea that we need to hold on to things. And it can only be known through experience. And so by releasing, by letting go of those things, then we have a different experience, which allows us to then question the way that we've been doing things. And Virgil said a few other things that I thought were super brilliant. And he said, you know, make a brand for a big, lofty goal. Not something small, something big. And in this way, I think, you know, when I think of the concept of this podcast, of my books, of the events, it feels kind of impossible how to get free, like totally free. Exploring freedom beyond just like a moment-to-moment experience and extending that into the broader realm of life. That's pretty crazy. And of course, then I'm always challenged to live it too, because that's what happens. You know, we teach what we need to learn so many ways. And so we're exploring freedom from, you know, the normal, like mundane things that has an infinite number of iterations. Can be free from every little thing, but how do you become free from everything while still living? How can you then take those lessons back into your day-to-day life and experience life differently? How do you eliminate this worry? And I read this really great quote once that worry is worshiping the problem. Worry is worshiping the problem. And Virgil said, people think that working hard is thinking hard. I love that. People think that working hard is thinking hard. So when you're worrying, you're thinking hard. But you're not necessarily working hard. Because if that worry arises, to me, the question is always, what can you do about it? And that's the hard work part. That's the part that says, you know, get out of your mind and do something active that is contributing to the solution. reframing the problem, building a collective effort to address the problem, instead of just thinking about it, worrying about it, ruminating about it, and allowing that worry to then ruin your health and your wellness and just your experience of day-to-day life. That's our opportunity, is just to not think really hard about things, but to do things. And as you know from this podcast, I think a lot. And so, you know, the not thinking is freedom, and I know that. But it's super cool to have the opportunity to think out loud with you too, because I hope it inspires you to reflect on things differently and return to that state of not thinking, to be free in that way as well. So to close out this discussion about creativity and freedom, I thought I would share a little bit from two of my creations. And because I feel a connectedness between my first book and my last book, my most recent book, I feel that it's no coincidence that two ideas just popped into my head as I was kind of jotting notes after the talk with Virgil. And along the lines of this idea of worrying, there's a question from my first book, Meditative Questions. When you can do nothing, what can you do? When you can do nothing, what can you do? And I always say that book changes as you change, and well, I guess all books do, but especially that one, because you approach the questions differently. But in this moment, what is arising for me with that question is that when you feel that there is some big problem, it's a source of a worry or a series of worries, and you feel like there's nothing you can do, is that true? Is that true? And I would suggest what's arising in this moment is to pick the smallest thing you can do, the smallest action that you could take, and then just sit with that feeling. So if your worry is climate change, it's a big thing, it feels like there's nothing you can do, it's this big problem, what is the smallest thing you can do? And then how does that feel when you do that small thing? Like, one of the small things I do here on the island is whenever I have like a bottle, glass bottle, after I there's the sparkling water, flavored sparkling water that I've been into lately. But I save all those bottles. I don't trash them. And the beautiful thing is that living on an island promotes really sustainable creativity. So in the store that's downstairs, my friend that works in the shop, Antoinetta, she's always excited when I bring her these things that I've saved, because she reuses them for other things. And I don't know what that looks like on the other side. I think some of my peanut butter jars get used for jams. Some, you know, containers, like plastic containers, are used by painters to mix the paints. I mean, there's an endless thing, source of, you know, endless uses of these objects, which I think is really cool. And it's a very little thing. And it doesn't, you know, probably in the grand scheme of things, make a huge difference. But if we all were thinking in that super, super small, localized scale, it does make a difference. And then our actions inspire creative actions from others. And it just continues a cycle. And maybe most importantly of all, we're not just thinking of this huge problem that feels insurmountable. We know that in our own little way that we're doing some small thing. And on the flip side of that question, when you can do nothing, what can you do? if the problem is so big or so unrelated to you that you feel like there's nothing you can do, then don't worry about it. So that question, I'm sure if I look at it again in 6 months, I'll think of some other way to look at that question. But in this moment, I feel like that inspires a different experience of freedom from moment to moment. Just the perception of the question, how you explore the question, what answers you find. And in those actions, like, it kind of obliterates the question. You're just living this new experience. And from my latest book, Finding Freedom Where You Are, I just wrote this note that I know is a pointing in the book, so I have to open the ebook now to find it. But the pointing is, life is simply happening. Oh, perfect. Here it is. Okay. So I'm going to read the accompanying perspective to this pointing. Suffering happens when it is believed that life is happening to you, or that things are happening because of you. At the root of these beliefs is the illusion of control and the expectation that things could have happened differently, or the feeling of regret that we could have done something differently. Expectations and regrets are only thoughts. Instead, if we accept that life is simply happening, each moment is experienced with freshness. Memories and expectations are dropped, and we are able to live free, full of gratitude, in the moment of now. Just reading that is just a feeling of freedom for me. And freedom in this sense to me is this recognition that life is uncertain. We don't know what's going to happen from moment to moment. And therein lies the excitement, but also the stress, because we want to craft things in a way that gives us the sense that we know how everything is going to turn out. But if we knew that, it wouldn't be exciting. So if we're suffering because of that uncertainty, then we're kind of shifting our present moment experience to something we don't want. What if we lived in the adventure of the uncertainty? And whatever that worry is, all we can do is to do that hard work of laying down the foundation of the future we want to have. It doesn't have to be specific, you know. It's like, when I think about all that I'm creating and all that I'm doing, it's like I'm just exploring new opportunities to share and learn. Learn and share, really. And that's going to look very different. Sometimes my classroom is the world, you know, globetrotting. Sometimes it's here on the island, consuming lots of information or doing nothing. Conversations with people in different parts of the world. Discussing things that are relevant to, you know, a friend in a certain moment in time. Working through those things, finding ways to hopefully inspire. That's the hard work, you know, but it's, if we're approaching it with a lightness, then that's the fun work. That's the living. That's the life that we get to experience in this human form. It's just that range, you know, that rainbow of emotions. And I think we're so quick to like always want the pretty colors only. We only want the pretty colors. And I mean, I get that because I know when I'm designing my books, I just want the pretty, you know, I want the pretty colors and the cool art. But you're always going to have both. And I know that some of the biggest risks I felt like I've taken is maybe putting something in my book that didn't feel perfectly polished or perfectly perfect. And Virgil made a comment in the talk, you know, this toxic perfectionism is actually, you know, a block to art. So it's, we have to loosen our bounds on what we consider to be good enough sometimes. But having that illusion of control and the expectation that things could be different, those are things that we often suffer. But if we have radical acceptance that everything that happened could not have happened any other way, which is actually something I wrote in an unpublished poetry project. And then I remember, you know, later I connected, oh yeah, I think Morpheus said that in Matrix. So it's like, you know, there's no real new ideas, just repackaging and reframing. But everything that happened could not have happened any other way. If we just accept that for just a moment, and we don't have this sense of regret or that I took a wrong turn or if I didn't do this, then this wouldn't have happened. If we just release all of that and we see that in the divine planning of this life experience, all those things had to happen to get you where you are in this moment or to get you to where you're going to be. If you have this radical acceptance, then in that way, you're immediately free of the past. Whoa. And you're actually free of the future because you see that, you know, all these things that seem unconnected that are just happening are somehow going to lead to this creation of something in the future. And we think it's because of our efforts, but it's just all in this like divine planning. So all these seeds that you're planting, they're going to bloom in unexpected ways. And I always remind myself about this in my life because I do have this duality that I live with sometimes. It's like Zen chill, but then this perfectionism and this overachiever aspect. And so it's like, how do you balance that? And the only way that I can balance it is just let go and just do what's needed in the moment. And so this part of the perspective, if we accept that life is simply happening, each moment is experienced with freshness. So if we release that, you know, the stress, the worrying, and, you know, worshiping the problem, like if we release that and we just focus on living the answers, living the experience, living the questions, we see that we're just constantly learning and sharing and hopefully growing and inspiring. And so I thank dear Virgil for all of the lessons. I'm thankful that we have the gift of some of these teachings. You know, I found it on YouTube that we can learn from his unique perspective because I think he looked at the world in such a really beautiful and unique way and challenges us to not only think about the object, but its environment. So when you think about yourself, also consider your environment. How is your environment shaping you? And I think this is the reason why I love traveling, because every time I'm in a different environment, I feel that I'm learning like a different aspect of myself or experiencing a different aspect. Because everything is just mirrors, and a place has its own energy. And so different places inspire me differently. So I'm lucky that I get to experience these different nuances. And I say that, you know, it's easy to think about traveling around the world, but it's even in your own communities. You know, what is your experience when you're sitting on a park bench versus a coffee shop or a movie theater? It doesn't have to be like Luxembourg to Paris to Australia. It can be just in your community. Where do you feel most calm? Which is another question for my first book. Where do you feel most calm? You know, maybe it's just finding that huge tree in the park and deciding to camp out for the afternoon. That is its own freedom. And I find that when I do things like that, it inspires this creativity. Because I'm cutting myself off from this constant consumption of information, which I also enjoy, but I'm cutting myself off from that consumption and just allowing it to marinate in the peace of nature. So I thank Virgil. I'm thankful that, you know, we have artists like him who reframe this concept, this notion of fine art in a more contemporary way. JR is another example. You know, we have these artists that are like reframing the narrative. And in my own small way, I hope that I am able through this podcast to do the same with Zen, because the ideas that were shared, you know, thousands or hundreds of years ago feel like, I don't know, they feel like untouchable sometimes. They feel, it's like in a museum, you know, where you can't touch the art. Like if you're looking at the Mona Lisa, it feels untouchable. Like you see it, but you can't really like experience it. But you have a Virgil who's like putting it on a t-shirt or clothing, and all of a sudden you're experiencing the art. And so I hope in this way that the things on the podcast are taking these ideas a little bit out of the clouds and allowing you to try it on, you know, to experience it, to have a guided meditation or a moment of contemplation about something that's very much outside of your day-to-day life, and how these ideas might inspire or encourage you in what you're doing in this moment. To me, that's the power of art and creativity. And then the experience of freedom is really what is remembered and felt. And that is so beautiful. And I've gone like twice my normal time of, I try to keep it short, but today I just went on this tangent because I feel like it's really wonderful for us to take out time to really reflect on that cohesiveness in our lives, to celebrate the simple, to reach for those big lofty goals, to stop worrying and worshiping the problem, and just focusing our energy on the hard work in the moment of now, to do what's needed in this moment and recognize that life is simply happening. To me, that's what it means to be free. And of course, that is what I always wish for you. And I thank you so much for being here. Namaste.